This episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast is brought to you by our new sponsor, Oakley. When you wear Oakley, there really is more than meets the eye. Don't trust me? Try it for yourself. I've worn a lot of sunglass brands in my life, and I can assure you that Oakley is not just the best looking, but the best quality out there. Head on over to Oakley.com for more information today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Casual Friday. My name is Sean for W. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm not by myself. As always, I'm joined by my partners in crime, Mensa and XJ, the Casual Friday crew. How are y'all doing today? Let me start with XJ. XJ, how are the vibes?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know, we've had some time from the I don't want to call it a debacle, because looking at Miami right now, they're balling, you know, they're balling in some kind of way. But I would just say for me, the vibes are impatient. Like, I'm ready, you know, I'm ready to move on to the next step. I'm ready for the off season. I'm ready for off season. Jeremy Cohen. I'm ready to see how we build. You know, I noticed on social and stuff, like, a lot of people will try to kind of like police your fandom. Like, they'll be like, hey, we just had a great season. Like, take time to celebrate and be happy. Like, do it, be happy. It's like, you know, like that policing of how other people, you know, are a fan is super strange to me. But for me, it's just about what's next. Like, you know, we're going to take time today for sure to reflect on the season together here, as a family. And I'm super excited to do that. But after that, I'm ready to wrap up and like move on to what's next. It's impatient vibes for me. I feel the chip coming at some point soon. I can taste it. So I'm ready to move forward.
That sound you did not hear is me knocking on wood when XJ said the chip, he can taste the chip. No potato. Mensa, welcome to Casual Friday. Good to see you again. How are the vibes?
The vibes are nervous is what I'll say. Like XJ, I'm a little impatient. I want to see what the Knicks do next. And for the first time in a long time, I'm not looking forward to summer league basketball, because Deuce is probably not going to play. Quentin Grimes is definitely not playing. I'm not really looking forward to the Trevor Keels breakout. It's not my thing. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry to Trevor Keels as well. But I want to say nervous, because just being on social media, I'm like, well, that's a bad move. That's a bad move. Please don't do that. You know, there are so many wrong moves out there and not enough right moves, that the Knicks, in order to get to that next level, which we're all looking for, which is title contention and eventually winning a title, have a really, really, really narrow road to go. And a lot of it is what's available as far as luck, what's just the opportunity of it all. And then the other, like most of it, is just being smart and seeing if this team is unlike its fan base and is patient and is willing to forego the wrong move to wait for the right move.
Well said, Mensa. Yeah, Twitter this week, Jesus Christ. For me, the vibes are anxious, because, you know, 2021, the vibes were, even though we lost to the Hawks, it was like, all right, we made the playoffs, and, you know, it was like, all right, there's nowhere to go but up, right? And then obviously last season, the 2022 season didn't go so well. And then, you know, we turned it around, and, you know, even though we were one seed worse than 2 years ago, we actually won a playoff series. And so now this offseason, it's like, well, what do we do next? Because I don't think this fan base can, nor should they, stand for a 37-win season next year, even though not all progression is linear. If we take a step back, there will be a riot. Shout out to Jeremy Cohen, who said this will be the last fun Knicks season for a while, until we win the championship, because now expectations have been set. the expectations have been raised, and there can't be any. That was Chris Procione. See, I'm stealing people's credit. But either way, it remains like, you know, they're no more plucky. Like if we have a terrible season next year, if we win 37 games next year, and then even win 48 games the year after that, the vibes aren't going to be the same because it's going to be like, well, all right, we've been here before. But next season, the season after next season, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Today, we are going to put a casual bow on the 2022-2023 season. And each of us are going to share a good, bad, and ugly moment from this season. So I don't have a deck of cards, so I don't know who's going to go first, but I'm going to play a game I like to play, which is called I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 6. Akshay, you first.
I'm pretty sure it's 3.
No, Mensa. Mensa's on mute.
I was going to go 5 for my guy quickly. I'm sorry.
No, Akshay.
I'm going to go 4 because you're wearing a 4 on your shirt.
I am not wearing a 4 on my shirt. For those who cannot see, they're listening. I'm wearing a t-shirt. It's the old NTA New York City Transit logo. The M. Mensa.
Let's go 1 for Jalen Brunson, who's 1 in our hearts.
No.
How is this possible?
Okay. How is this possible?
I'm going to go 2.
There you go. I was like, it had to be. 2. All right. So XJ, I will start. Let's start with the good. Do we want to start with the good or the ugly? Do we want to start with the good and sink down to ugly, or start from ugly and go up to good?
I feel like we start with ugly and go up to good because I don't want to end it with the sabotage vibes at the end. You know what? Not great.
That's a great
I like idea. The way he thinks. I like, yes, the way you think, XJ.
The ugly might get real ugly. Okay. So, all right, XJ, let's get the ugly stuff out of the way. What is to you the ugliest moment of the 2022-23 season?
I mean, I'm glad I'm going first because I don't know how either of you have any other moment than the one that I'm going to mention, which is, of course, the Luka Doncic game, where the Knicks were up 9 points with 33 seconds left. And this is why we had to go ugly first, because we could not end the casual pod by talking about this game. In a great season, you know, one of the most fun seasons we've had in a long time, we could not end it by talking about this game. To be up 9 with a minute left, you know, I'm just going to say, like, my benchmark, I don't know about you guys. I think we all have like our internal, like, implicit benchmark for when, like, okay, the game's over. Like, we can chill. We're good. My benchmark used to be 10 minutes or 10 points with 2 minutes left. Cause I had seen one time some data crunching that was like, a team has like a 97.4% chance to win after leading by 10 with 2 minutes left. So that was like always my benchmark. Okay, 2 points, 10 minutes. All right, cool. We can chill out now. In this game, I went back and looked at it, and it was not fun, obviously. Recall that Randle made a layup to go up 9 with 45 seconds left. I remember live, I thought that was the dagger, but it didn't feel that way because of how the game went and who the Knicks had been for so much of the season up until that point. But it's like, Randle just made a layup. We're up 9. Like, this has to be over. You know, Luka scores again. Luka scores, and then, but they go up 9 again, I think via free throws with like 33, 34 seconds left.
Deuce McBride hits his second free throw, 112, 103, 33 seconds left. No, I don't have the entire play by play pulled up on the screen over here. I don't have that at all.
I didn't want to go too far into getting the play by play, but you know, I'm appreciative that you have it up, Sean. So, okay, Deuce hits a second free throw, up 9, 33 seconds. This game should be over. At this point, what I do know is their win probability was about like 99.5%, meaning that you would have to play that exact game over about 200 times before you would expect the Mavs to win once. that's like, you would have to play. I repeat, if this was 2K, you would have to sim that game 200 times before you expect the maps to ever win a single time.
If this happened in 2K, people would be like, it's the bits, and they would throw their PlayStation against the wall.
The sliders were up. That's all we have to say. Yeah.
The sliders were up in this game. Like, to go down at that point, 99.5% win probability, 9 points, 33 seconds left. You hit, you know, you get a Christian Wood three, a Dinwiddie three. And then, of course, the miss rebound with Deuce and Grimes both going for it. Grimes, who should not have been in the game, he should have been subbed out for Sims. They kind of fight each other, miss the board. And, you know, I'll let you guys take it from there. If this is your ugly moment, it sounds like it probably is. It was just all time ugly, like not ugly for this season, all time ugly. One of the ugliest losses in the history of the NBA. Definitely in the history of the Knicks franchise for a regular season loss. Doesn't really get worse than that. I remember at that time, I just shut everything off. Knicks, I left Twitter. I just didn't watch the KFS post game. I got a whole new level of respect for Jonathan Macri and Andrew Claudio, GMAC. Like, the fact that those two guys could go on and do a post game after that, better people than me. But I shut everything down. I said, I'm going to go watch a movie or something. I don't remember what I did, but it wasn't anything basketball related. Didn't watch ESPN for about 4 to 5 days after that, waiting for all the news cycles to go. Yeah, it was tough. That's the ugly for me.
I'll just say real quick, I was in Miami that week. So when that happened, I was sitting at the bar watching it on my phone because the bar didn't have like cable. And when that happened, I literally just went back to my room, walked past my family who was laying on the booze. They're sitting on the bed. We had a little balcony. I just sat on the balcony and poured myself some wine and just started drinking. I was like, what? I was like, that. That's impossible. That is impossible. Mensa, you can leave your comments about that game and then you can share your ugly moment of the season, unless that's it.
I think what made that moment as ugly as it was watching how giddy Luka Doncic was he did it. I was like, this guy is a psychopath.
Like, psycho, dude.
He put a 60-point triple-double on us. Like, you know, and especially because history happens, you know, it just does. But when history happens to the Knicks, you can never forget about it. And it's just one of those things. It's like, of course, this would happen to us. Of course, this would happen to us. And XJ, I think you said everything that needed to be said about it. Sean, you have the play-by-play pulled up. I don't know, man. I choose enjoyment these days, and I would not be going back to look at any of these moments. I have my moment is a little bit different because, like, at least as it happened, I'm like, if anybody's going to do this to us, it's going to be this guy, this psychopath of a human being. The ugly moment for me would be today is December 21st, 2022. I believe I have the date correct. The New York Knicks, 8-game winning streak, looking for a 9th game, are hosting the Toronto Raptors, who are losers of 6 straight. And Pascal Spicy P. Siakam came into the house that Julius Randle was trying to build. And to quote the late, great, to quote Dave Chappelle, who was imitating the late, great Rick James, Pascal Siakam went full fuck your couch, Eddie Murphy. Fuck your couch, Charlie Murphy. It was really bad because we're at a place where it's like, okay, this is the first, you know, big winning streak we've had since the We Here season. And Julius Randle is getting the love back. Brunson's balling, he's balling. The team's doing great. everybody's contributing, and we just started. This is like right after, like the coming weeks with, I think, the Quentin Grimes. He just got into the rotation. It's the new rotation. Deuce is playing. The vibes are at the highest they have been for the season. This was the first peak. And then Pascal Siakam said, yeah, you know, all of those vibes, 52 points. That's what I got for those vibes. And then having to jump in, because I remember, Sean, you had to jump into a Raptor space. And listening to those Raptors fans, I was like, why these guys? Why do these guys get this? Oh, my God. As Sean likes to say, the Raptors fans aren't the worst fan base, but they are top five. They are in.
Easily. Easily top five. Fight me.
And I was, oh, man. Just, I feel like it was the first. Like, look, we knew the Raptors at that point. Like, this is when the Raptors were still seen as serious. Like, it was like, oh, they're not playing well, but they're still the Raptors. They're still good. This is before, you know, everybody apparently on the Raptors was this big, great trade piece, and they ended up not getting traded for anything. But that's another story to be told. It was just so ugly to have the vibes, I feel like, ripped from us, ripped from our hands, especially after we were, like, what? We were a game away from fire Tibbs. And then they turn the season around. They get on this 8-game winning streak. And then Pascal Siakam reminds us, at the time, you don't have a superstar. And it was a really ugly, really ugly feeling. And that's my moment for the year.
That's a good shout. I actually remember going into that game saying, we're going to lose this game for two reasons. One, it was the classic, oh, Knicks are flying high against this team. They can't get out of their own way that they should beat. And two, I've been talking cash shit to the Raptors fans for like a month before that, because you know how the Raptors fans do. They act like any little small gain, like they say we over celebrate things. Any little small gain, it's like, look at us, Vision 6-9, we're doing so well. And I was like, yo, you're fucking mid. What are you talking about? You're not winning anything this year. And I reminded them of that for 2 weeks. And I was like, I even have a tweet out there. It was like, we're going to lose this game because of me. And we lost the game. That was bad. So that was ugly. All right. So for my ugly moment, it's Josh Hart over Quentin Grimes. And the reason why that's my ugly moment is because I saw it coming for about 2 months. And this is not a knock on Josh Hart, because Josh Hart is a, like, he's a star in his role. I'm glad he's on our team. He's helped us win so many games before, so many games. But I started to notice, Josh Hart gets to close every single game, no matter what. I feel like this is going to come back to bite us. And I've said it on this podcast. I've said it on playbacks. I've said it on timeline. Like, I called it most favored nation status, because it's like, all right, now, because you have decided that this guy gets to close every game, you now are now, you being the head coach of the New York Knicks, are now picking one of your others. You have to, like, you now have one spot for three guys, and they know that going into they almost like they know that, right? But it's okay. It's all right. And we get to game one versus Miami. Josh Hart starts over Grimes. You could excuse it for a number of reasons. A, Grimes was coming off a shoulder injury. And two, the numbers suggested that him against Jimmy, he would, you know, that was a good idea. I was like, okay, I get it. When I see Josh Hart in the starting lineup for game two, when there's no Jimmy, it's like, okay, here we go. And we win the game, but it took 45 minutes for Josh Hart to realize, like, hey, they're leaving me open for reason. I should shoot. And then the rest of the series, like, he just, like it wasn't the best series. But I'm not going to blame Josh Hart, because Josh Hart does what he's told. The reason why it's ugly for me is because my fear is that Josh Hart is going to become the new Alec Burks. And Alec Burks, we love Alec Burks, like any rational Knicks fan with sense loves Alec Burks, has no ill will towards Alec Burks, appreciate everything Alec Burks done. But Alec Burks became the poster child for the 2022 season, the failure of the 2022 season. And now that decision, and think about it. We had this 20-game stretch where we went 3-17, and Tom Thibodeau kept running the same guy out there over and over and over again, even though it was clear it wasn't working, something needed to change. And he kept running Josh Hart out there over and over and over again, even though that wasn't the reason why we were losing. And he starts Grimes game five, and we saw what happened game five. And I say to myself, what if we had just played Quentin Grimes the whole series? So for me, that's why, like, that's ugly, because I'm not going to say we would have beat Miami, but if we beat Miami with the lineup that we'd had all fucking year and we lose, I can sleep at night. Hey, this is our best lineup. To make the decision to go away from that lineup, it's almost like he's trolling us. It's like, when we want you to adjust, you don't. And when we don't want you to adjust, we do. So that, because of the how I link it, it reminds me of the season before, the low point of last season. Where I think everyone will agree the ugly of last season was 3-17. That's why it's the ugly for me. So, all right. So, now that we've gotten that nasty shit out of the way, let's move on up to bad. All right. So in order for it to be fair, this time we'll cut Mints to go first, then me, then XJ, and then we'll go so forth. So Mensa, what was your bad moment of 2023?
Actually, this actually flows really perfectly, because that was my bad moment. It wasn't ugly, because you saw it coming. It wasn't like, oh man, this is disgusting, I can't believe Tom Thibodeau is starting Josh Hart, because we were on a playback playing against the Miami Heat. And I think this is the Julius. Yeah, this is the playback. This is the Julius Randle buzzer beater playback. And Josh Hart is closing the game. And I'm like, he shouldn't be in the game right now. RJ Barrett should be in this game. It should not be. If you didn't want RJ, if you wanted to close with Quick, Grimes, and Brunson as your three, but not Josh Hart. Josh Hart did not have it that night, but he stayed in. And then when we first traded for Josh Hart, I have a tweet. It's still up. And I said, I hope you guys know that Josh Hart is Josh starting over Quentin Grimes. And I was wrong, because Quentin Grimes played well, but then getting down towards the playoffs, you kind of saw and realized, okay, Tom Thibodeau really, really loves Josh Hart. And then he was only, and I'm sure Tibbs doesn't care about this kind of stuff, but the reception that Josh Hart got, it was like, oh, I love this guy, and it's not going to be a PR issue if I, like, it was just perfect for him. And it was bad, because everybody knew, like, you can look at the on-off numbers, like the true shooting percentages for Julius, RJ, and Jalen Brunson without, with Quentin Grimes instead of Josh Hart is like 17 points higher. It's crazy. Like, nuts. It does not make sense for those scoring numbers to exist with one guy on the floor, right? Especially when he wasn't playing well. But the fact that Tom Thibodeau decided, and it was just like, we're scoring 86 points. There's a reason we're scoring 86 points. It's because you're making a bad decision by starting Josh Hart. And then the other thing that made it bad is, you see, to me, like, I honestly do believe that if Josh Hart was coming off the bench with we kept everything the same, because Josh Hart is a better bench player, and he strengthens Obi Toppin because he's a very excellent rebounder, which is an area that Obi Toppin is not good at. He finds Obi going down the court. And then on top of that, his brains fit so well with Hartenstein and Quickly. So you made my Quickly is struggling. Maybe put him back next to Josh Hart. Right. And then, so when we bench, okay. And then it's like a rolling thing, because when we lost, I think it was game four, we got out rebounded like crazy in the fourth quarter. And I'm watching this game. That's the first game Quickly misses. And I'm like, you know who gets a bunch of long rebounds? Emmanuel Quickly. But now that Josh Hart is not, you know, like, it to me, it was like, it was too, it was too little too late when we made the switch. And it was just such a bad decision, because now we have to believe that the Miami Heat are a good basketball team because they beat the Milwaukee Bucks in five. They beat us in six. And I don't know what they're about to do with Boston, but it looks like they're going to beat them too. And it's like, this could be us. This could be us. We could be here if Tom Thibodeau, and this is why, like, it's hard for me to let go, because yeah, look, Julius Randle had a terrible game. Literally nobody but Jalen Brunson and Scott Foster showed up for game six. Shout out to Andrew Claudio. But at the same time, like, if we played our game, they couldn't stop us. We were able to score points when we played our game, and we deviated from our game. It was a bad decision, and it cost us our season, is the way I look at it. I mean, look, correlation may not be causation, but the correlation is really, really strong here. So that is my bad, going to Josh Hart over Quentin Grimes.
You're not going to get any pushback from me. XJ, what's your bad moment of this past season?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you guys covered that in full between ugly and bad. it was one of those and both of those probably. For me, I want to just give, hopefully I'm not stealing yours, Sean, honorable mention for Emmanuel Quickley not winning Sixth Man of the Year. That's honorable mention in my bad moments. I didn't want to cover that in full, but horrible decision by the voters, and the whole NBA voting system, I believe firmly, is a sham now. So that completely changed my view on a big aspect of basketball, of the NBA. So, and I just thought that was a really bad moment for the league, really. But my real bad moment, my actual bad moment for me is just, you know, I want to say the Heat series as a whole, right? Like, definitely the Josh Hart decision over Grimes and everything that you all covered so eloquently, but just the series as a whole was a bad moment for me. I did not enjoy seeing us get out nixed by Miami. Like, I'm still here, still trying to wrap my mind around the fact that Miami had a worse effective field goal percentage and a worse free throw rate, and they still won the series somehow. Like, a worse effective field goal percentage than the Knicks, who are like a really bad effective field goal percentage team, and they still beat us in the series in six games. Like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. You know, it's been a great season. There were a lot of bad moments in it. There are a lot of great moments in it. Thankfully, we're going to move on to that next, but the Heat series was clearly the worst to me. Tough to watch at many points. I think it exposed a difference between our rosters in a way for me, like Miami having guys who just kind of like refuse to lose in a way. They scrap for everything. They never get too down on themselves. And this kind of revealed that we have some guys who can get down on themselves. We have some guys who can get a little gun shy. We have some guys who can subtly like mail it in when things aren't going right, or just, you know, maybe not mail it in, but get into their panic mode decision-making, which tends to not be good. Like you guys have talked about like Rondo Tibbs, you know, often breaking out his best, but, and I agree with you, but we've seen that, you know, his best is just isn't good enough sometimes, you know? And you know, I just want to say that series is only bad for me rather than ugly, because there were some bright sides to it. Luckily we have a leader like Jalen Brunson, who was the best player in a series that included playoff Jimmy Butler, which is insane to say. And that just keeps it out of ugly for me, because no matter what, we came out of that series saying we had a player on the Knicks who was the best player in a playoff series that we lost in six games that includes playoff Jimmy Butler. That's a crazy sentence to say. And you know, I trust Jalen to be, you know, a number two really moving forward on a championship team if we pair him with a two-way wing or a two-way big as the number one. So, you know, no matter what, I think that revealed that the series revealed that we have a guy like that, and it's just legit, just stamped at this point. So it can only be so bad for me. And another bright spot, you know, I'm going to be honest, like the fact that guys like Quickley and Hart didn't have huge postseason performances might be best for our long term in terms of like the ramifications for their contracts that they're going to get, because, you know, quickly could have easily came into this postseason and erupted and been getting paid well over $100 million moving forward. And Hart, you know, could definitely have bumped up the number that he's going to receive as well. And I think that we saw some of their shortcomings. We saw guys like Caleb Martin show that he could do a Josh Hart impression and do it really well. So, you know, I think that that's going to affect the number that they get moving forward. So, you know, it's unfortunate for our success this season, but probably better for, you know, future cap situations. But yeah, I think it's just the whole series for me. The Heat series is just bad. I left a bad taste in my mouth and I'm ready to move on from it. Honestly, that was it for me.
No, I mean, I don't blame you for that. For me, for bad, I had that in there because, like, you know, as we've said, if one other Nick shows up, we win. Just one of
one
of the Nick. There was actually a lot of bad moments I was looking at. I mean, there was because you forget about them until you go back and look. So there was scoring 85 points against Brooklyn. There was, you could pick a Mavericks game, whichever one. Personally, for me, it was the other Raptors loss at MSG, 123-121, because if they had called the foul on RJ with his game-winning game-time dunk, he may hit the free throw, we may win the game, and we lost at the buzzer on the Jalen Brunson three, and my son was at that game. That was the only game he attended this year, and my son has been to 4 Knicks games and has not seen a win, and I thought that was going to be the one. My son has been to 4 Knicks games and he's 7. Go figure.
That's sad that he hasn't seen a win, though.
He has not seen a regular season win. He was at the Pacer preseason game when Obi did the between the legs dunk. And that was the day that Obi became his favorite player. There was the Minnesota 140 Knicks 134.
Zach knows ball. I had to say it. I'm sorry. Zach knows ball. I just had to say Zach it. Knows sorry. Ball.
There was the game. There was the Minnesota game where Torian Prince turned into Klay Thompson, and Rudy Gobert was hitting running jump hooks with his offhand in the paint. You were just like, all right, what are you going to do? But for me, my bad moment, Thunder 145, Knicks 135 on a Sunday afternoon in Madison Square Garden. Do you know how hard it is to give up 145 points at home in regulation? Do you know how hard that is? And yes, and that was a KFS meetup game. Do you know how hard that is? I looked it up at the time. I'll look it up later, but I think it's only happened 6 times in NBA history where a team has allowed 145 points at home and not gone to overtime. That was, and I think many people thought that was the beginning of the end of Tom Thibodeau, because it was, well, your hallmark is defense. What is going on here? Like, what is going on here? There may be changes that need to be made. They're not being made. The effort from them that game was deplorable. They made Oklahoma City look like the Harlem Globetrotters. I think that was the last really... I think that was the last time there was like a overwhelming chorus of boos of the home team inside of MSG, because it was deplorable. It was unacceptable. For me, it is so hard to give up 145 points at home in regulation. I'm actually going to ask for either of you to give your thoughts on that game. Why look up how many times that's happened in NBA history?
I was just going to add real quick, because I think that's, you're right, and I'm interested to see how many times or how few times that's happened in NBA history. But at least at home, when OKC was at home, I know they scored 150 against Boston this season as well. So OKC could just drop a random 140 on you like this season. It was like the most bizarre thing. I think they also scored 153 against Houston too. So it's just really weird. Not to downplay it, because both of those games, I think OKC was at home, but yeah, OKC could just suddenly just like put 150 on you clearly, but yeah, still horrible.
Yeah, I absolutely hated it. I was in attendance for that game and it was so bad. I remember, I think he put Fournier in at a like the 8 minute mark or the 7 minute mark. And I'm just screaming. I'm like, oh, looks like we're not serious again. I was so annoyed. And SGA could not be stopped. I mean, it came down to the, you know, SGA being all NBA first team. So, hey, he couldn't be stopped. He's all NBA first team guard. But at the same time, in the moment watching it, I'm like, these guys, they're like, come on, man. Like, everybody knows what Sam Presti wants. He wants picks. Chet's not playing. It was just, that was, and then on top of that, we scored so many points in that first quarter. We had an excellent first quarter. And then to lose that game that way was just not what you wanted. I was not happy with that at all.
So since the 3-point shot era, it's happened, which is 1979-80, it's happened 42 times. So it happens on average once a year. But the irony is it actually happened 6 times this year, which I think makes sense considering how crazy the scoring has been. But yeah, it happens like once a year on average. Like there are like swaths of years where it didn't happen. Like, for example, it did not happen from 1995 to 2008. Like allowing 145 at home in a loss in regulation is insane.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about Factor. During the spring season, you need wholesome, convenient meals to energize you for warmer, more active days and keep you on track for reaching your goals. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and tackle everything on your to-do list. Too busy to cook this May? With Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the shopping, prepping, and cleaning up too. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back outside and soak up the warmer weather. Going off script for this next part because I personally can't say enough how clutch Factor has been over the last 2 weeks. I'm talking Jalen Brunson clutch. I'm talking Allen Houston with 4 seconds against the Miami Heat in 1999 clutch. Whether it's a huge playoff game followed by a late night post game, I barely have time to prep and cook anything. So every time a post game has ended, I grab a Factor meal from the fridge, put it right in the microwave, and in 2 minutes, I've got my dinner ready to go. The future Mrs. Claudio loves Factor as well. With her busy schedule with meetings and writing reports all day, being just 2 minutes away from a healthy, well-cooked, pre-prepared meal is so convenient. This May, get Factor and enjoy clean eating without the hassle. Simply choose and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. Don't hesitate. Head to factormeals.com/filmschool50 and use code filmschool50 to get 50% off your first box. Again, that's code filmschool50 at factormeals.com/filmschool50 and get 50% off your first box. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. What's up, Knicks fans? Super excited to announce our new sponsor, Oakley. Express your style and build a look that's made just for you. Oakley's changing the game, and it's time to discover a whole new world of possibilities. Do you run, golf, train, or just want to look like your favorite athlete? Then you need to get yourself a pair of Oakleys today. Suited for everyday eyewear with frames and lenses allowing for an extension of self and an expression of your personality, with Oakley, there's more than meets the eye. Here at Knicks Film School, our motto is look good, play good, and that's why Oakley is the perfect partner for us. Not a one of us leaves the house in the morning without our Oakleys. And listen up, because it's officially almost summer, which means you need to upgrade your sunglass game now. Check out Oakley.com to get yourself a pair today. Also, did you know that Oakley even offers prism lens technology? Now I know what you're thinking. GMAC, what the hell is that? Well, it's a technology solely used by Oakley and available for everyday settings as well. Want to know more? Head on over to Oakley.com and check it out for yourself. And while you're there, get yourself a pair of everyday glasses that'll be sure to change your look for the better. When you wear Oakley, there really is more than meets the eye. Don't trust me? Try it for yourself. I've worn a lot of sunglass brands in my life, and I can assure you that Oakley is not only the best looking, but the best quality out there. Head on over to Oakley.com for more information today.
All right. Now that we got all the bad stuff out the way, let's bring the vibes up to a good place. And let's discuss our best moment. Your best good moment is not grammatically correct, but I'm running with it anyway. Your top good moment of 2023. I guess I'll go first this time. So I had my honorable, I don't want to say any honorable mentions because I don't want to take away anyone's. I'll say one because I know none of you have it, and that's the Evan Fournier game against the Sixers. Because to me, for those.
Oh, man, the bit stays alive. Another podcast episode.
We will keep the shout out to Jeremy Goldstein. We're keeping the bit going alive and well. But to me, that game signified the next man up mentality that this team had, because RJ got scratched like 10 minutes before the game. Evan Fournier, who hadn't done anything on a court on an NBA court in a game in months, came in, was a professional, came in, did his job. We don't win that game if he doesn't play well against the Sixers. So that's my honorable mention. But for me, my number one moment is the back-to-back wins in Utah and Denver. And I picked that moment because, well, those two games as a joint moment, because that actually, like, people point to Tibbs changing the lineup and after the Mavericks game. And yes, that is absolutely important because they were from 10 and 13 to playing, I believe, at a 56 win pace. But that game, those two wins signify two things to me. One, they had every chance. They had every chance to roll over and die. And I remember there's so many, because that game was after the OKC game. And I remember we looked at the schedule because that was the West Coast swing, because they had after OKC, they had Denver, they had Utah, they had Golden State, they had Phoenix, and it was like, I think they had Minnesota, and it was like, yo, they might be done. And a lot of people were saying that Tibbs lost the team. He never lost the team, because they had the chance to roll over and die. If they wanted him out of there, Tibbs is out of there. That all they had to do was go to you. That is arguably the hardest back-to-back in North American sports. At Utah altitude, at Denver the very next day, and they went and they played their asses off and won both games. And yes, Jokic didn't play in the Denver game. I don't care. I don't remember if someone was injured for that. And I don't think anyone was injured for the Utah game. We beat them straight up. I don't care. They could have rolled over and died. And listen, the storyline was staring them in the face, because it was, we're going to get, the team's going to fall apart. Losing to Utah, the team you should have made a Donovan Mitchell trade with. It was staring them in the face, the poetry, the symmetry, all there. We all laughed when we found out. Well, we were like, huh? When they announced the players only meeting, and we found out that Julius called a players only meeting, the does he know memes, the you're the guy memes, all those memes, like, dude, like, you're the problem. And he said, let's get it together. And they got it together. And there is no changing of the lineup on December 4th against Cleveland if they roll over and die against Utah and Denver, because Tibbs never makes it to December 3rd. So for me, that's my good moment of the game, of the season. We'll go to XJ to go second, and then we'll go to Mensa last.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to go next. Great moments, underrated. You know, I wouldn't have even thought of that one, Sean, but that's a super underrated moment. I think for me, this was potentially, like many of us in our 30s, my favorite Knicks season ever. You know, the Melo season was great for sure. But it was like, you know, we have Melo, you know, like the success of that season was not out of my range of expectations. And, you know, before this one, you know, I know some people might disagree, but my favorite season, next season, was the Linsanity season, despite that being really like a month of a season. but this one clears both of the other ones. And the fact that, you know, I got to spend it being a contributor to this pod, you know, and specifically Casual Friday and all the stuff that we've done has been amazing. It's hard for me to not say a Brunson moment, you know, Brunson with, you know, the shots and the ISO work and the feeling that we got over the course of the season, just like, okay, yo, this dude is nice. Like, oh, wait, this dude is like the truth. Like, wait, this dude is him for real, like a superstar offensive player. Like that's, you know, moment after moment. But for me, my good moment of the 2023 season, it's Quickly. It's gotta be Quickly. Quickly in the TD Bank Arena, skipping around, prancing and dancing, profiling and styling.
The TD Bank Arena, not the Garden.
It wasn't
the day he lost the Sixth Man of the Year award.
True.
Talk to them.
Unfortunately, the day he
lost. Damn, did I love that. Hey,
it might have been worth it because he was profiling and styling around the TD Bank Arena. I'm always going to call it TD Bank Arena, by the way. Because Mensa, you had a tweet recently saying, stop calling that place the Garden. Stop calling that place the Garden, dog. For real. That ain't the Garden. There's only one Garden. That's TD Bank Arena. but yeah, just that image is just forever emblazed into my mind. You know, that because just the Quickly moment, which is the pinnacle of everything I thought and knew that he would be. You know, the shot making, the defense, the decision making, the energy, the passion, the joy, the ability to steal my most hated fan base's soul. I just appreciated that so much. I'm a Yankees fan. Boston is the worst fan base to me over everyone, over everything. It always will be. And to do that there, I loved it. You know, Quickly's been my guy forever. In my mind, he's always been on the no trade list. I was furious with the Knicks for even discussing Quickly in trade talks for anything besides a superstar. I said he'd be an all-star before. I think some people thought he'd even be a serviceable role player. And, you know, this is a guy who turned his worst attribute coming into the draft, defense, his worst attribute, into his best attribute, has become an upper echelon defensive player in the league, should have got all defensive votes this year. Again, another sham, you know, all the voting is a sham to me, but I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, yeah, that moment was so great to me. Double overtime, 55 minutes, 38 points, just filled with joy and happiness. And it just like, you know, it allowed me to just get caught up in that single moment, not looking forward, not looking back, just be able to live in the moment and enjoy it. That's something that I struggle to do. I'm like I mentioned at the top, I'm always looking forward. And in that moment, I was able to just tune in and just be like, yo, this is dope. This is happening right now. Quick is going off and he's just like having a ball. And yeah, and the fact that it was at TD Bank Arena was just, you know, the cherry on top of it. So for me, that's my good moment of the 2023 season.
That was one of my choices as well, the Emmanuel Quickly game. And yes, you're right, Mensa. I'm telling my grandkids that is the day he lost the Sixth Man of the Year award. And we realized that the Boston sports mafia machine is a thing. And when anyone tells me that this league does anything to help the New York Knicks, I say politely, fuck you. Mensa, what is your good moment of 2022-2023?
I mean, if I didn't choose, because I was going to go with the Quickly one, but I figured XJ would take it. If not that moment, then how can it not be April 21st, 2023, Friday night, first time in 2 years, the New York Knicks hosted a playoff series. I mean, hosted a playoff game. Game three, man, what a moment. What a moment for the New York Knicks to play the way they played and to go up 2-1 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who everybody and their mother, not named Kendrick Perkins, had beating us. I was called a madman. I said Knicks in five. I was called a crazy person. And the New York Knicks, oh my goodness. It's especially after the first, for me personally, after the first two games RJ Barrett had against Cleveland, and everybody was like, I don't know, this might be it. If he doesn't come out playing well, he's done. You know, he's shooting tour dates. And shout out to Benji Ritholtz. He did shoot a tour date. He shot August 12th, huh? August 12th. 8 over 12. Let's go. RJ Barrett. I mean, he put all the doubt went right out the window on April 21st, 2023, man. I mean, it was a very proud moment for me because, you know, as everybody knows, I'm an RJ guy. He had shot 1 for 8 from three from the previous two games against Cleveland, number one defense. And then he shot 3 for 6. He really, really stepped up in ways that very few people expected him to step up. It was our first playoff game in 2 years. And the fashion that we wanted with Jalen Brunson getting and ones and going crazy and yelling at, oh my goodness. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. I think that was the highest high for me was game five easily was the highest high, but the RJ of it all, because it spoke to a larger thing for me, which was the New York Knicks have a lot of young talent and they all showed up at different points in the season. We had Quickly show up. We had Mitchell Robinson show up. We had RJ Barrett show up. Quentin Grimes showed up. Deuce came in and gave you, you know, he's like a seventh inning relief pitcher. You know, he came in and he would just give you that, you know, get you a little 3 outs and then or even your 6 outs and get your closer in. Like he played so well, Deuce McBride, like all the young players. And RJ Barrett, I feel like, was the one who was trending in the wrong direction going into the playoffs. For him to trend upward, like, yeah, Quickly and Grimes were trending downwards in the playoffs, but they had given us so much good regular season basketball and so much basketball before that, that we're willing to give them the pass. This was put up or shut up for RJ Barrett at this point. And we saw what he did. The rest is history. And I think that for me that's the good moment that I want to talk about is our first playoff win in 2 years.
Hey, man, listen, I was at that game. You could feel the electricity in and around MSG, the excitement, the anticipation. You know, I got into the building. I met so many Knicks fans that I've been talking to on Twitter for the first time. And then getting in the building and the building, the chanting is like, this is like now we're not more and more people are starting to see what we have been saying for the longest as fans. Like why would anybody want to come here? That is why you want to come here. That is why. That was an amazing call. And then we obviously won. And after the game, people playing ball in the street, wearing Blarneys, having drinks, spilling out on 7th Avenue. And man, and you know, and that's our new tradition now. We win playoff games, we shut down 7th Avenue. If you don't like it, you can go scratch somewhere. Yeah, man. So those are all great moments. I think I had one other those are all the ones I had. So
I just wanted to highlight one moment real quick. Just Randall 3 to beat the Heat. That was an insane moment.
The moment I spoke Spanish. What a fun time.
Probably my favorite KFS moment, because the three of us and Andrew were live on playback watching that game. And that was just an epic moment for all of us to just share in that. So I just wanted to shout out that moment for sure.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing that we all had three moments and none of our moments were directly tied to a Jalen Brunson game, because there's so many of them. Like, that is a moment in itself. Like, wow. Yeah,
different podcast.
Jalen Brunson moments.
He is not a moment. He is an event, that is an ongoing event. He is a life-changing event for a lot of us as far as our Knicks fandom goes. Not just one moment.
Okay. So those are our moments of the year. Before we wrap up, this is our first podcast since the season ended. So I figure it'll be fair for me to give each of you a minute just to talk about the season as a whole. And also, this is the end of our first season as contributors to Knicks Film School. So I figured, you know, I'd give you all each of you a few minutes just to talk about your experience this season being, you know, a media member, because you are a media member. Don't let anyone tell you different. I'll just let you pontificate on the year. So Mental, start with you.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. I don't know what to say. So I guess I'll just start from the beginning where Andrew like reached out to me and he was like, hey, you've been doing really well in these KFS Patreon town halls when you talk, people want to listen. So we want to give you an opportunity to join the crew. And I was like, did he know this was a dream of mine? Like, you know, like all I ever want to do is talk, you know, like Nick's content. And to have this opportunity on this platform, which to me is the best platform, even before I was a member of Nick's Film School, like I would read just not even lying. Like I was a KFS. I am a KFS Monroe level patron. I am subscribed to Jonathan Macri's KFS newsletter. Like I was doing all of this for years. So I'm like, yeah, of course I want to do this. And at the time the season had started, like I was still grieving a very, you know, private tragedy, which you guys obviously know, but I don't want to make it too public. So like this helped me like get through literally the roughest period of my life. And just to be able to do like the pregame shows with you guys and even like then the KFS faculty and like there's, I really have no bad memories of anything this first season. Like I get on the podcast and I'm like, man, this XJ guy is amazing. Like I got to step my preparation up. And then I realized like, I just like, because of the work I do, like I don't have the time. So like, I was like, okay, I'm going to let XJ do his thing. Like, and just listening to you, Sean, like all your Seanisms and the way you add like a layer of, I want to say like perspective to every event as it happens, just like working with you guys and just being able to come in here and like shoot things off the cuff. And I feel like I couldn't have had a better two podcast teammates, I guess. Feel so grateful just to be on the same team as guys like Jeremy, John, Benji, DJ Zulo, French Jeremy, as we call him, APJP. Like the list goes like for real. Like we have such a solid team here. People, and I'm forgetting anybody. I really, Chris Persiainen. Like the team is just so great here. And for people to like embrace us the way they embraced us and embrace me the way they embraced me is just, I couldn't be more grateful. And obviously there's more content to come. And I'm just so excited for what not only is to come for the New York Knicks, but for Knicks Film School.
Absolutely. Absolutely. XJ, what's your recap of this season, your first season at KFS?
Yeah, and I appreciate the platform to even like do that recap, Sean. It's a great idea. I echo everything that Mensa said. I mean, unbelievable coming on here with you two guys, you know, in the pre-games that we were doing and then in the Casual Friday. What an amazing invention this Casual Friday has been. The dopest pod. You know, for me, kind of being discovered by Andrew in the YouTube comments was a crazy thing to say. Andrew's eye for talent is like unbelievable. Like this dude is like was mentioned in our KFS faculty chat. This dude really is Nick Fury. Like this dude really is Professor X, like for real. Like it's crazy. But just, you know, like I've also, you know, been engaging with KFS in a similar way as you, Mensa, you know, dropping long, long, long comments in the YouTube chat for no reason other than just to engage with everybody who's there. It's like an amazing community. Love still engaging in the comments, you know, like the other day, Andrew took a screenshot of a comment I dropped under a pod with Benji and John. It was like, yeah, I'm gonna stick to my roots. Cause you know, that's where what I'm about. But yeah, it's just been an amazing season. In saying that, like for our first season as contributors, it was this Knicks season, like an unbelievable Knicks season in the last like 20 years. You know, I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And, you know, just the ability to chop it up with you guys, to be in the KFS faculty chat, our Casual Friday chat. It's just been a dream come true. Unbelievable. You know, like I just love just talking basketball, as you all know, as we all do, as everybody who engages with us does. And it's just been amazing to have that opportunity. You know, and in our faculty chat, like I said, you know, I go at Benji so much, and just like, it's crazy that I'm able to even say that. Like, I go at Benji Ritholtz in our KFS faculty chat, and it's because
it is the art versus science battle of all time. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
And it's because I admire the hell out of that dude. Like, I admire the hell out of that dude. Like, fully, full stop, you know, like, and that's why it's just, I just love that opportunity to just like chop it up and talk basketball with like brilliant basketball minds. You two are brilliant basketball minds. Absolutely. I've learned so much from both of you, like an insane amount from both of you, changing my perspective on how I see the game, you know, and it I've developed my basketball insight more this season than I ever have in my entire life, you know, in one season. It's crazy to think about. But yeah, it's been amazing, amazing season, such a great season to be a part of the KFS crew, and just looking forward to what's next.
Well, one, I just want to say I appreciate those platitudes. Being a part of this community has made me a smarter basketball fan, a better basketball person, and I've learned so much. You know, back in, I think it was 2017, I still have a list on Twitter called Rational Knicks Twitter, because I would add to it people who had rational discussions about the Knicks, because there's a lot of rationals out there. And one day I got a suggestion, and I'm pretty sure this is 2017. One day I got a suggestion to, of people, you know, Twitter says people you should follow. And I got a suggestion to follow JC Macri NBA. And this dude in this black and white picture looking all professional. I was like, all right, maybe, you know, follow this guy, whatever. And, you know, saw his takes, and it was like, you know, he's pretty nuanced guy, right? And then the dude started doing Periscopes, and shout out to Periscope for those who remember, after games, like little 5-minute recaps, and 5 became 10 and 10 became 50. And it would be appointment viewing for me, to the point that if I had missed like 2 or 3 of them, I would go back and watch like the last 3 Periscopes, post-game Periscopes before then. And I just kept following. Obviously, I'm talking about Jonathan Macri. And I just kept following the Knicks Film School as it grew. And, it, you know, they brought on Andrew and they brought on Jeremy. And, you know, it became a weekly podcast, and then twice a week, and then 3 times a week, and they moved to video and then live streams or what have you. So when Andrew reached out to me and he said, I want to talk to you about, you know, possibly joining the team, it's ironic because the day we spoke about that, the day he invited me to join Knicks Film School was the day of the Donovan Mitchell trade. In fact, our call got pushed back by, we had the Zoom call hung up, and half hour later, my phone goes off, right? Listen, so I've learned so much, as I said earlier, and, you know, now being a contributor, you're involved more, especially me being the host of our Twitter space KFS study hall with Chris Persiainen. And that kid is going places. Trust me. Like, I told him on his 21st birthday, which was game 2 of the Heat series, I said, you are so far ahead of me when I was at age 21. Just keep going. This community and being a part of the KFS community has given me the opportunity to meet so many more people. And I've met so many Knicks fans in person, I mean, on the timeline, but in person at games. And I've gotten to know so many people. Some of y'all nuts. Some of y'all crazy. I'm not going to lie. One of my honorable mentions for ugly was the Hives, because the Hives made it very, very difficult at times to engage in discourse. So to the Hives, and you know who you people are, shame on you. However, to your point, XJ, the idea that our first season was this season, like, I was hashtag embrace the mid in October and November. That was my thing. Like, listen, we're going to win 39, 40, 41. We're going to go over. It's like 42 games. We'll be like a 7 seed, maybe a 6 seed. No, we'll be like a 7 seed and play, right? Like, even, you know, me becoming a partial season ticket holder, which is a dream of mine. Like, you could not have told me that I would have season tickets to a Knicks, for the Knicks. And then that happening. So me being able to go to the games, to cover the games, and look at it from different perspective. I'm so grateful and thankful for everyone on the team, everyone who's not on the team that I interact with. Even listen, like, I'm just, this is a blast, and I can't wait for next season, because I think we're all really good at this. We'll be even better next year. I promise you that. You can take that to the bank. Any last words before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just quickly want to shout out Jeffrey Ballone, man, creator of Knicks Film School. I remember the first time I watched a Frank Ntilikina 70-second video breaking down why this guy should stick around. And then just following him, you know, to Mets Fix and even with Isles Fix. I'm not a hockey guy, but I am a Mets fan. Thank you, Mr. Ballone, for creating this platform for us to be here on a casual Friday talking about the Knicks as passionately as we probably do at any other point in our week. So shout out to Jeffrey Ballone.
Well said. Shout out to Jeffrey Ballone, who created this amazing thing and just said, like, you know what? You can have it. I'm good. I'm going to go concentrate on the New York Metropolitans, which, you know what? I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea.
Leave it alone.
All right. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Shout out, as always, to Menson XJ. Listen, we are, like, obviously I can't do Casual Friday by myself, nor would I want to. We have hit it off almost practically from day one. I look forward to next season with you guys on Casual Fridays, as we are every Friday, although obviously with the summer coming up, our schedules will be modified, but you'll be hearing from us during the summer, as well as John and Jeremy throughout the summer. I can't wait for Cap or No Cap, the Paul George edition. kidding.
That's not insider information, guys. I promise.
Listen, Cap or No Cap, the OG and Anobi edition is going to be amazing. The Max Strus edition is going to be epic.
Too many spoilers.
Zach Levine edition. To people out there asking for the DeMar DeRozan edition, stop it. Sit down. Have a seat. The Dame Lillard edition. But yeah, those are going to be amazing. Listen, Dream with Chris Persiainen. Pay attention to Dream. Those are going to be epic. Listen, DJ and Benji are still going to be breaking on tape. Follow them. APJP on the ones and twos. GMAC on the ones and twos. Shout out to French Jeremy Goldstein, and Harrison, our newest addition. I know you're going to be doing your thing, but listen, we're going to have content all summer. I have some ideas of some things we can do for Casual Friday, some things we're going to discuss. We're going to get in our bag this summer, right? But we're not going to be there every week, but we're going to be there more often than not. But when we pop up, it's going to be some shit, right? I had to shout out the angel investor of Knicks Film School, Mr. Robert W. Cross. This lovely mic, I'd like to thank you for that. I'd like to thank you. I appreciate that with your – we should put your name on it. This should be the Robert Cross Memorial mic. But
not Memorial, but yeah.
you're not Memorial. No. He is alive and well. Trust me. And he'll be around for a long time. And listen, he just turned 50 this year, so mazel tov to him. Again, thank you very much for rocking with us this season. For XJ, for Mensa, for everyone at Knicks Film School that helps Casual Friday go off without a hitch, my name is Sean with the W. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Let's go, Knicks.